Welcome, traveler, to the Inn at the Edge of Greenwood, a cozy roleplay podcast where adventurers from many realms come to tell their tales. You won't find any dice rolls or TTRPG mechanics here, just good old-fashioned make-believe and storytelling. We hope you enjoy your stay, and if you do, that you let us know with a review. Thank you for joining us. Now, let's grab something hot to drink and listen to a story.
Dear friend, there has been a mist surrounding the town every evening for days now. I've taken to hanging a bright lantern outside all night long in order to provide some sort of a beacon for wandering travelers. This fog is unnaturally thick. One traveler did arrive yesterday through the fog, a young woman who approached me blades first. Not that I can blame her, considering how foreboding the woods are right now. But where she comes from and the stories that she told, they are worth retelling to you here. The Inn at the Edge of Greenwood, Chapter 12, A Brief Respite from Darkness. As you're camping for the night, having spent a long day on the road with your companions, you make a fire, you cook dinner, you set up your bed rolls and set watches. And in the middle of the night, in the heavy mist that obscures any vision too far out from your camp, you begin to hear a sound. And it you hear animal sounds regularly enough in the night, but this sounds as if it's circling. And it sparks a thought in you that whatever this is should be investigated or dealt with.
And I know that everybody is exhausted, so I will check it out for the moment, because maybe it's nothing. It's usually not nothing, but I'll draw both of my blades and take a few steps away from the circle of firelight towards this noise.
As you step out of the firelight and into a little bit more of the darkness, there's a moment where all of a sudden a flash of lightning, there was no storm before, a flash of lightning kind of cuts through the sky, and you hear a crack of thunder. Almost has that heat lightning look and feel to it. And you kind of take note, but then look back around at whatever this noise was that was coming from out in the mist. You take another step, and with that second step, a second crack of lightning rips through the sky, and all of a sudden, you look around yourself as the light dims back down into darkness, and the firelight is gone. And it's just mist and moonlight.
There is a huge tightening inside me, and I sort of tighten my grip on both of my weapons and take a look around, knowing how stupid it was for me to leave the firelight, and realizing that I have apparently just become the latest victim of the mist.
You begin to stumble through it, walking slowly, keeping your blades up. And then you see, deep out in the tree line, a little pinprick of light. It's orange. It flickers a little bit, almost like a torch or a lantern. But for the first time since stepping away from your firelight, you see some light that isn't moonlight, and that seems to be constant.
I'll move cautiously towards it. I do know that sometimes the mists just pick someone up and put them down in another place, and so maybe this light means safety and civilization, but I don't want to fall for any more dangerous tricks.
You continue walking, the light getting a little bit closer and closer, and after about 3 or 4 minutes of walking towards this light, you break the tree line. and you come out of this forest, and you find yourself standing in a little bit of a clearing with, you know, some rolling hills. You see a worn path kind of cutting across you left to right, and you look up, and it's still very obscured by the heavy fog, but you see that light a couple hundred feet from you is part of some building. Again, you can't quite get the full scale of what this is, but you do see the rough outline of some sort of two-story building with a pointed roof, and at about, you know, level of where someone might hang a lantern out a front door, there is a light swinging. You look to your left, you look to your right, you don't see any other buildings, you don't see any other sign of light or people. It's just this one building sitting up on a little bit of a hill.
That doesn't entirely surprise me, given my area. So I'll continue being cautious, but I will approach it.
You begin to approach, and as you get closer, you begin to come close enough that even with the mist, you're able to start to make out details of this building. It's a two-story building with fieldstone around the bottom and wooden walls that go up. Pointed roof. There's a ramp that goes up to a porch on the front. As you get closer, what catches your eye the most, though, is the figure who is sitting on the porch on a stool, just kind of hands together, elbows on his knees, just looking out into the darkness with this slightly worried expression. As you get a little closer, he finally does, you know, your footsteps finally become audible to him, and the figure turns and sees you and says, "Oh, hello there. Are you looking for shelter?"
Bitte, wo sind wir?
Oh, sorry. Do you need a place to sleep?
I frown deeply. Sorry. Other common, I guess. Where are we?
Edge of Greenwood. This heavy fog has been here for 2 days. I'm not surprised you've gotten a little turned around.
Does that mean we're very far south?
No, sorry, north. We're at the north of the kingdom. Please, come on in, come inside. We can get you warm and fed. He stands up and opens the door, which you see more light coming from within, and he kind of stands there in the doorway beckoning to you.
She has not put away her blades this whole time, and this is almost the way, like, a wild animal would look at a campsite, sort of, like, putting her head to the side, like, not really sure what's going on. Okay. And I'll take, like, again, very slow, but steps towards the porch.
You make your way up the ramp to the porch. He stands in the doorway, and as now in the full light, you can see a young man with short brown hair, very slender build. He's wearing a simple tunic and a bit of a heavy coat over top of it. As the mist, while it's not, you know, winter by any respects at the moment, the mist kind of brings a bit of dampness with it. Come, it's okay, come on. Everyone's welcome.
Mm-hmm. And I'll just, again, still really suspicious, but I'll walk all the way into the room.
Yeah, he kind of, you know, leads you in the door. He goes in first, holds the door for you, lets go and lets it close behind you. And he turns and immediately walks over towards the bar. You see an L-shaped bar almost immediately in front of you when you come in, a little bit to the right. The innkeeper goes behind the bar and doesn't even take his coat off quite yet, but begins to pour drinks. And he motions towards a coat rack that's over to the right-hand side. He's like, "Please, you can hang up your things if you'd like and have a seat."
She sort of stands there, not really sure what to do. You said the room is empty?
It's currently, yeah, no one else is currently here.
Yeah, she spends a minute taking in the room. And finally, I decide to put both of my blades away. And I walk towards the bar, but not, like, right up against it. I haven't hung up my cloak or anything, though.
Yeah. He finishes pouring two tall beers and sets one down on the bar and slides it across and sets his own down, finally takes off his coat, kind of throws it across the bar off to the side and grabs his and takes a sip.
"How long have you been out there?
Traveling, It's late.
Well, my friends and I have been traveling for a week or so.
Did you not make camp for the night?
Yeah, we did.
Well, I'm sorry that you've gotten turned around. In the morning, I'd be happy to hopefully have a couple folks help you find your way back. I would not recommend trying to go navigate that fog here in the dead of night, unless you want to be walking around in the greenwood for the entirety of it.
She starts to scowl at him very mistrustfully. Tell me more about this kingdom where we are.
Oh, Alson, are you not local? I'm afraid I didn't recognize your tongue at first, so perhaps you're from another kingdom?
Alson, you've never heard of Coronath?
Oh, no. Is that across the Western or the Forgotten Sea?
Oh, boy. What do you want?
Oh, he kind of puts his hands up a little bit. Nothing. I run this establishment, which is a way station of sorts for travelers. And if you're a traveler, you know, you're more than welcome here. And as he kind of, you know, looks you up and down and you stand here, could you kind of describe what he sees?
Yeah, so she's only just 17, long auburn hair in a braid down her back, a German style, one of those green kind of pointed hats with a pheasant feather in one side. She's got this big, heavy cloak made of, it looks like bear fur on. And then under that cloak, there's leather armor. And she's got what looks like a long hunting knife on her left hip. And on her right hip, she has a sword in a beautifully, intricately stamped leather scabbard. There are vines and flowers and all sorts of nature images on this scabbard. And she has her arms crossed and is absolutely scowling at the innkeeper.
He kind of looks down. He's like, sorry, I was just pouring what I poured myself. Can I get you something different to drink if this is not to your taste?
I'm not a fool. I'm not going to drink anything here.
Well, we're not the capital, but beers are good. He takes another sip.
She shakes her head a little bit and just like looks at the ground.
He starts to kind of give you a little bit more of a quizzical look, and he goes, Coronath, you weren't meaning to travel here, were you? You've never heard of the Elven Kingdoms or of Alson. You haven't heard of Excessa or Inniport or Valenhai, have you?
As he's listing all of those off, she raises her eyebrows a little bit and then lifts her gaze to look at him again. She takes a step closer to the bar and reaches out her left hand and, like, pokes him in the shoulder.
Mm-hmm. He lets her do it. He kind of, and he's, I assure you, I'm real. There have been some who have come through here who have wondered the same. But I assure you, this is not your home, but this is real.
Her eyes have gotten very wide and a little panicked.
He sets down his beer and he kind of, you know, has his hands out almost like kind of gently, like with a calm down gesture. And he's just like, I understand. It's a little unsettling. We never know when someone coming through is just a traveler from the coast and when the plains have graced us with someone from another realm, such as yourself. Please, I'm the innkeeper here at the Inn of the Edge of Greenwood. I'm only here to be a friend.
She is wringing her hands and muttering to herself, and eventually he picks up. She's saying, Draußen? I'm out? Is that what you're telling me? I'm out.
You're not in wherever you... my best guess is that you're not in wherever you found yourself this evening. This is a place that... The planes of existence almost tend to bleed into each other in the edge of these woods. And travelers find themselves at my door from many different lands and worlds. Doesn't mean you can't get back. Everyone I've ever met has found their way back home, but...
That's... Sounds like a blessing and a curse. I did not think it was possible to get out. She's like almost on the verge of tears.
What can I get you? Do you need water, tea, stronger food?
Water would be wonderful.
Of course.
Thank you.
And he kind of turns and pours a glass of water and sets it in front of her.
She's got her hands on the bar, like almost to steady herself, and she sort of shakily takes a seat and takes a drink of the water. This is incredible, if it's real. I didn't think it was possible to get out. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I hope I can get back because I would feel incredibly guilty to leave my friends there.
Where is this place that you couldn't get out of? Have you been a prisoner of some place?
I guess you could say that. Everyone who's born there is a prisoner. It's... The place I come from is a valley ringed by high mountains, completely cut off from the sea, though we do have a broad river that runs the length of the valley, and it used to have a name, but now all of the people from outside of the valley just call it the Dunkeltel, which I guess for you would mean a dark place. And it is. We met servants of Paelor earlier this spring who treated us awfully, even though my friend also serves Paelor, because they told us that his light does not touch this place and that we were all cursed and not deserving of their time.
Is Paelor one of your gods?
The god of the sun and righteousness. Oh. Yeah.
Similar to Atlan here.
It's not like any of us chose this place. This was hundreds of years in the making before my time, but...
If this is some place that he kind of like has sat down at a stool behind as well to kind of come eye level with you. If this is some place that you need refuge from, this, my inn is open. There is no need for you to return to some place that you do not want to be.
You don't understand. I said I was a complete idiot for walking into that mist away from my friends. I was supposed to be on watch. I'm responsible for them, and they can't leave either. And we are the only thing standing in between the people of that valley and all of the evil you could imagine, and then some that you could not.
Please, if take a seat by the fire, get warm. I could take your coat if you want. I will help you get back if you need to, but it's not safe to go out into that fog tonight.
Fog is never safe. Yeah.
Rarely so. True. You can get lost very easily. Bump into a tree you weren't looking at.
Oh, if only that were that simple.
Let me... I'm sorry, I'm at a loss. I'm gonna make you some food. I think anything that you like.
That's very kind. I'm not picky.
All right. He heads back into the kitchen. He calls every once in a while out. Doing all right? Anything that you need?
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
And after about 20 minutes or so, and with periodical check-ins with you, he comes and refills your water glass at one point. He comes out with a plate that has a baked potato and some sausage links on it and toasted bread with big, heavy spread of jam on top of it. I know it's very plain fare, but it's warm and it's hearty. It might help settle you.
That looks delightfully familiar. Thank you.
Oh, well, good. Anything other than water?
No, it's fine. I'm sorry. I still feel like I need to keep my head about me.
Oh, no, certainly. Well, and he sits down opposite of you. I didn't catch your name. I'm so sorry.
I'm Sabina Fleischman. My family have been butchers for a long time, so.
It's nice to meet you, Sabina. You say that you and your friends are all that's standing between your valley and a great evil. You seem very young to hold such weight on your shoulders.
You're not kidding. And that's the first time you sort of see, like, more than just fright from this person. Yeah, there's a lot of bad and very few people capable of doing anything about it. And so my parents and Reinhardt's parents and Ida's parents, all when they were about our age, were trained to fight. And then they needed us to go on this stupid errand in the spring. And so we got roped into all of this. But we are the only ones capable of doing anything about all of it. And even then, we are putting our fingers in holes in a dam, and we don't have enough fingers. We just keep the bad things from being as bad as they could be without us.
That is an impossible responsibility. What do you need tonight? You know, a place to sleep, provisions for the morning.
I don't even know. I feel like I should just be running back into that fog because I can't leave them. I was on watch. Reinhardt notoriously sleeps through his watch anyway.
I won't stop you, but again, Sabina, I would not recommend going back out. I'm afraid you wouldn't probably even know which direction to go. And the shift of the planes, it's not like you can just run back through them. It's fickle. I don't know how long you'll be here.
Her shoulders slump so heavily, and she just looks down at the plate and is like, I don't even know. I don't. This is not something that ever would have crossed my mind as being possible. I don't know what to do. I feel so bad that I'm not with them to protect them, and also so bad to be able to breathe like this and they can't.
He reaches underneath the bar and pulls out a large leather book. He opens it up. You hear a jangle as the inside cover has keys all hooked to it. He flips open, scratches a note on a piece of paper, and then grabs one of the keys and just sets it on the counter and slides it across to you. And he goes, I don't mean to add to your guilt, but I'm afraid I can't let you stay here without staying in a soft bed. This is for room 12 and upstairs, and I think some rest might do you good, and we can regroup in the morning with folks who maybe could give you more answers.
Okay. Thank you for your help.
Certainly.
I'm sorry, I probably sound crazy.
Not at all. You would be, honestly, I'm kind of shocked that a lot of the people who find themselves just randomly at my place don't feel more out of sorts. It's a shock to the system to find yourself in a world that you haven't been in before.
Are they all adults?
Of varying ages, but well, the years that you've been on this earth are not the only indicator of wisdom and strength. I know plenty of old men who are fools. So.
So do I.
Sabina, get some sleep. Maybe you'll wake up back at your camp tomorrow. Maybe you'll wake up here in the inn. But if it is here, come down, have breakfast, and we'll figure out what to do next.
Okay.
So he kind of shows you where the stairway is. Gives you your space, lets you head up yourself. Room 12 is on the right, near the end of the hallway, and you step into a small but clean and private space with a single bed, a small dresser, little wash basin, table chair, little chest to keep valuables in, and it's quiet.
She, again, like closes the door behind her and just sort of like stands right there behind the door for a moment, just sort of taking it all in because she hasn't had her own room in maybe a month at least. And then she sort of makes a slow circuit around the room, just sort of like touching everything to reassure herself again that it's real, and eventually goes to bed, but has a very hard time falling asleep because she's just so distraught and guilty.
In the morning, she wakes up in this same room, and sunlight is coming through the shuttered windows, and you can hear the sounds of a market outside, and animals barking, and children playing, adults talking to each other.
Put on all of my stuff again and go downstairs.
Downstairs, as you're even walking down the stairs, you are passed by a couple folks coming up who, you know, oh, excuse me. You come down and there are probably a dozen people in the inn having breakfast this morning. It seems to be whatever travelers were staying the night have come down. Probably folks from the town, you know, come in to get a bite to eat here as well. And the innkeeper is bustling around. You see another young woman, a few years younger than him, who's also wearing an apron, kind of working with him in the tavern. And he sees you, and his hands are kind of full of plates at the moment, but he gives you a smile and a nod, and kind of with his head motions towards a table that is open.
I'll go take a seat.
After a moment, he comes over and actually sits down in the chair across from you, is wiping his hands clean, and leans back. He goes, "Oh, how'd you sleep?"
Oh boy, I don't know. I didn't have any dreams, which is weird, because I've been having them a lot, but that bed was really comfortable.
Well, they're not as fancy as the ones that they have in some of the larger cities, but they do the job. I was hopeful that, as some others who have come through here before, that I would find your room empty in the morning, that you would be back home. Not because we don't love having you here, but just to get back home. But you're here. And breakfast. Yes?
Sure.
This time I insist you put in an order. What would you like?
Do you know how to make strudel?
I don't know what that is. Explain to me.
It's very thin pastry in layers, and then you sort of fold it up into like a rectangle, but there's filling inside, like strawberry or raspberry or poppy seed.
And what's your favorite filling?
Oh, I love the poppy seed, but you don't have to go to all that trouble if it's something you don't know how to make.
I don't think we have poppy seed, but we do have the raspberry.
That would be wonderful.
Okay. It'll take a moment. Anything to hold you over in the meantime?
If you have tea.
Tea? And we've got, I mean, do you want bacon and eggs? We have a whole bunch cooking.
Sure.
Okay. You are served a plate of bacon, eggs, fresh fruit, tea. And after a while, a good while, probably an hour, the innkeeper finally comes out. And he has this look on his face of pure mortification. Just like he raises his eyes, he's red in the face. And he's carrying this little wooden plate. And he kind of comes up, he's like, "So I may have overextended myself a little bit and potentially put more faith in my own baking abilities than I should have, but here you go." And he sets down a plate, and it is lumpy and strange, and the thin layers are certainly not thin enough, and so when it's folded over, it, like, doesn't stick, and it's, like, flipping open in places. But there's raspberry, like, kind of almost, like, jam, like, all in the middle, and it is hot and looks sweet.
Thank you so much. I'm so sorry. I guess if I'm stuck here, maybe I'll teach you the sheet over a table trick for making the pastry thin.
That would be helpful, because I honestly don't know where I went wrong. I think it was wrong from the start.
I appreciate the gesture, though. It's nice to meet people who are kind.
Well, enjoy as best you can. I hope you don't choke on it. But I'll take responsibility if you do.
Feeling dunk.
After a while, it's late morning now, and if you haven't gone anywhere, you'll notice that most people have filtered out of the building in kind of that in-between time between the breakfast and lunch rush. And things are kind of getting clean, and the innkeeper's behind the bar stocking, bringing out clean glasses and whatnot. He catches your eye and says, did you want to try to get out of the inn at all today? I can kind of have someone walk you around town, or...
I guess. I don't know how this works. I'm at a loss.
Well, you came through the fog, and the fog's been coming every night, so I would, if I had to venture a guess, I would say spend some time in the town for the day, and then when the fog rolls in the evening, it's been so strange. I wonder if it's not somehow connected to your realm. It just keeps rolling in at around 7 o'clock every night.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me in the least. The mist is incredibly dangerous where I come from.
Well, what is this mist? Is it intelligent? Is it magical? You've mentioned the mist several times. What is that? If I could beg of you the tale.
I would love to tell you if only I knew. It is notorious, and like I said, I should have known better than to wander out into it, because people get swallowed up by the mist and disappear. They get swallowed up by the mist and transported to other realms, interacting with Fae, losing time and coming back years later, though they haven't aged a day. Apparently it can spit us out in other planes of existence, I don't know. And monsters come out of it, and she seems very lost for words. It's alive?
Alive?
I think this is certainly not the first stupid thing I've done, winding up getting stuck here. I am maybe a little rash and a little curious. On our very first stupid errand, I was really curious because the mist seemed to be following us. It was around our campsite every night, and we came upon a cabin in the woods where we were able to stay for a night, but the mist was surrounding the cabin, and I asked Ida if she had a vial on her, because she always does. She has, you know, potion bottles and all of her medical supplies and things, so I took this vial and a cork, and I went outside into the mist, and I sat down in the mist, which, like, gods know I could have been transported or taken away then, too, but I sat down in the mist, and I sort of let it swirl around me, and my first foolish thought was to try to inhale it, which I decided was really, really stupid, so I went with the second, less stupid idea, and I opened the vial, and a little bit of the mist went in the vial, and then I corked it, and I came back in the cabin, and all of us were then looking at the mist in this vial, and it was fighting against the inside of the glass like it wanted to escape. And at the same time, mist started leaking into the cabin from the outside through all of the cracks in the walls and the floor and swirling around us. And it was really terrifying, and everybody yelled at me. So I pulled the cork out of the vial and let this little wisp of mist go back and join the larger body. And then it all left the cabin again.
I haven't seen the fog here behave in such a way.
Yeah. And we've been through portals in the mists before. There was a night where we were chasing a friend, I guess. And we went through all of these portals or tunnels and wound up days away from home, far to the west of where we had started.
You don't get the chance to rest very often, do you?
No. I had a hard time believing I was in a room that I could call my own last night, because a few weeks ago I burned down my own house to protect my family from other people, if you can believe it. Not all monsters are monsters. Mm. Sometimes they're just people.
And sometimes people are the worst monsters of all.
In many cases, in our experience, yes.
So, you spend the day here, the mist comes tonight, you hopefully find your way home. What been?
I hopefully can find my friends, and hopefully they're not dead or worse. And I guess we continue on.
But continue on towards what? Just fighting every monster you come across? Or is there a goal? Is there a way to break this darkness that's descended over your land?
I wish I had an answer for that. There are things that I want so very badly to do, but I just don't think are possible. We are so much stronger than most of the other people in the valley besides our family members. And yet, I have come so close to death several times, and so have my friends, and I would love to break whatever power is in the castle overlooking the valley and trapping all of us, but I just don't think it's possible.
Is there magic, like active magic in your world?
Loads. Okay. Yeah, I hate it, but it's there.
He kind of chuckles at that and says, it's odd to hear someone say that they hate magic.
Oh, don't get me wrong. When my friends are healing themselves, each other, or me, it's great. But, like, most of the magic that we've encountered has been awful. We killed a necromancer who was torturing children and then somehow encountered him months later alive again. So there's all kinds of bad magic there. We've fought gargoyles and undead creatures and some sort of sentient yellow goo that was trying to corrupt the entire forest, the land itself of the valley. Magic is a real problem. I won't lie, I can do a few things myself. And she puts out her hand and a small area of the silverware starts glowing green.
Ah.
So I have a few tricks, but only a few, and I can only do them rarely. I have been so turned off by magic and its misuse that I guess have sort of stylized myself as a person who's very good at fighting those that wield magic.
I saw the way you walked up with those blades. I'm not surprised. I think that you're going to use whatever you need in order to protect those that you love. I think whether that's your blades or your magic, your fists, your teeth, your heart. I don't know you well, but in the short time that we've spoken, you have shown more care for those around you, more responsibility than many that I've met. And I think that says a lot.
That's kind. I guess I never thought I had a choice. I've felt responsible, certainly as part of my family, working with them, for them for a long time. But for my friends, that first stupid errand we went on, I was the only one who'd spent any time in the woods. And even still, the group that I am with now, though it's slightly different than it was in the beginning, I am still the only one of us comfortable in the woods, unless you count my father, but he doesn't work with us most of the time. So I feel responsible for these people because I know what I'm doing outside, and the rest of them, they're not incapable, it's just not their preferred setting. And so for me to not be there while they're in the woods feels very wrong.
You know, my grandfather built this place. My father helped finish it when I was very young. And I was raised here in this inn. I was taught how to run it, how to care for it. There was an expectation, an unspoken expectation, and an unspoken responsibility that was handed to me. And I will be honest with you, the first couple of years running this place, I had thoughts of, is this really my path? Is this really my burden? This is something I was given and expected of from a young age. What about me? What about the things that I want? And I came to realize that at the end of it all, if I want to open that door and walk out and never see this place again, I can do that. If you want to stay here and walk away and do what's best for you, you can. But I think, much like myself, you've realized that even though the burden is great and the responsibility is not something you asked for, it's who you are.
Yeah, I guess so. It's the only right thing to do.
It's the right thing for you to do.
There are so few people in my world who are capable of doing what my friends and I can do that they are helpless before the waves of creatures and curses. I can't not use what I have to protect them. Or at least keep some of them from dying, I guess.
And I think that you can either look at that as a burden you are damned to bear for the rest of your time, or as a joy that there are some who would be saved who would not without you. That's up to you, though. Are your friends as young as you are?
Well, Ida and Reinhardt are, we grew up together, and we had another friend who had kind of grown up with me. He doesn't know what happened to his parents, so my family kind of adopted him, but he chose another path for himself, which is fine. I am still a little hurt that he left, but it was his choice. And now we have this new person with us who's, I think, like twice our age, which is kind of weird. I'm still trying to understand him. He also does the finger wiggly thing, but yeah, I don't know. But yeah, Ida and Reinhardt and I have been working together since that first stupid errand, and they are very good friends, but yeah, they're about the same age as me. In fact, I think I'm the eldest of the three of us.
Oh, goodness.
But, yeah.
Well, they always say that the next generation will save the world, so I guess that's you.
Is that a thing people say?
I don't know. I probably just made it up here in the moment.
Your world sounds very optimistic.
We try. It's not all sunshine and rainbows, but we try. The innkeeper sits for a moment, finally kind of reaches over and just pats you on the arm, doesn't say anything, gets up, walks away. And that night, when the mist comes, you spend an hour or two walking around trying to come back, trying to find your way back to the Dunkeltell. And it doesn't work. You head back to the inn. You have a drink. You have a sleep. And this cycle repeats for 3 or 4 days. And you begin this strange combination of growing panic that you won't be able to get home. And also just the reality of, to fill your time, especially during the daytime, you've begun to meet people and take part in town activities and whatnot, help out at the inn a little bit.
Mostly in the background, she's, every night's disappointment causes her to retreat a little further into herself.
It's on the fourth night, as you begin to head on out, and the innkeeper kind of gives you, again, fresh pat. Every night he gives you kind of fresh provisions in case you are not come back. The mist feels heavy tonight. It keeps coming back every evening, but it feels very heavy tonight. And as he looks out, I've got a good feeling about tonight, Sabina.
Good?
Well, a feeling.
Yeah.
He kind of looks at you one last time as you're in the doorway. When you get home, remember this place exists. It's not perfect. We're not perfect. And in many ways, I think the courage that you and your friends display make you More admirable than we'll ever be, just tilling our crops and racing our little boats on the lake. But remember this place. He steps back and closes the door. Sabina didn't return after that night. I have to assume she finally made her way home, and I have to assume that she and her friends survived the dangers of their world and eventually put things right. Any other thought is unbearable. She was brave and strong and capable, but she was still a child. And assuming she survives, the things she's seen and had to do as a child will haunt her forever. But it sounds as if she has the right family and friends around her to help her pull through. I know she will. I think this will be my last story, friend. At least, the last for a while. There are always new folks coming through with tales of adventure, but I've heard enough stories for the time being. I want to make one of my own. I will write more about that to you soon. Till then.